This episode of Film Scene is being brought to you by our new Zazzle store. For logoed shirts, mugs, and stickers, go to zazzle.com/filmscene.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's showtime.
This is Film Scene, the podcast for movie fans by movie fans. I'm your host, Tim Gordon, and joining me today is co-host Karen Gordon.
Hello.
And special guest, Walter Gordon.
Hi.
You got to work on your intro.
I think my persona is just enough.
It's too big.
Just enough for what? Yeah. So today on Film Scene, we are going to talk about the cult classic from 1981, The Evil Dead, directed by Sam Raimi, starring Bruce Campbell, Ellen Sandweiss, Hal Dietrich, Betsy Baker, and Sarah York. This is Walter's choice.
You didn't think I would pick The Evil Dead?
Probably not.
No.
So, Walter, why don't you go through the plot beats real quick?
Why do I always have to do that?
Because it's your choice.
You picked it. Tell us about the story.
Some people go to a cabin in the woods. They read from a book they shouldn't have. Bad things happen.
I thought it was more that they listened to a recording.
Well, they listened to a recording, yeah. But
after finding a book with a...
It's the same basic trope.
Yeah.
And there's evil in the woods, and they get possessed, and...
As I said, bad things happen.
Lots of bad stuff.
Yes.
That's it?
And it has got to be one of the worst filmed... movies of all time, I think.
No.
Yeah, see, this is where we will...
95% on Rotten Tomatoes.
For sheer entertainment value.
No, it is a good movie.
But production quality...
is very good.
Oh, give me a break.
This is a good movie, no.
Okay, so this will get interesting.
So I think the whole story here is director Sam Raimi and the dynamic camera work that he's able to do without any money, basically.
Yeah, this was shot on an extremely low budget of under $400,000. I mean, and most of the people in the film, and notably Bruce Campbell, were in it because they were his personal friends, basically.
Yeah, at that time, I guess a cast of non-actors, pretty much.
Yeah. Well, Bruce Campbell was an actor, but yeah, this is the first major thing he was in.
Yeah. I can't, well, when you said,
have you been drinking?
When you said, a lot of wine, when you said that it was, you know, the first film for many of these actors, I would also challenge that with, and the last, no one really burst out into the scene from this besides Bruce Campbell.
Yeah, Bruce Campbell was...
He's still not a household name.
Well, I'd argue that, but I mean, Bruce Campbell became the main character in this movie simply because he was the one who was able to shoot the most,
like be in the most scenes.
Yeah, like he had the most flexible schedule, he was available the most, the others weren't, so there were about 7 extras who had to go replace the other actors at various times.
That explains a lot.
So I would say that it's kind of a low-budget horror movie trope to have some people stranded somewhere and then have the bad stuff happen. The only difference is usually there's someone else out in the woods that's stalking people, like Halloween or Friday the 13th. I mean,
well, Halloween wasn't that low-budget, was it?
I think it started out a
first
little
one,
more.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, I can't think of very many other movies that have pulled that sort of trope off successfully that were also low-budget. Besides, like, Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah, and then didn't they have a similar film distributor as that movie or something?
I don't remember. Yeah, I'm not sure, but, I mean, someone can find that out, I'm sure.
I think part of the reason this one became popular and, people still go back to it is because it has... a sense of humor about itself. I think with this kind of movie, if you try to take yourself a little too seriously, you'll you're going to have problems because there's a lot of parts where the audience is going to be laughing, whether they're supposed to be or not.
Well, yeah, I laughed through the whole thing. Not because it was comedy, but because it was just, yeah.
Yeah, it's not a comedy. It's not even like a slash comedy movie, but it definitely has comedic elements.
Probably not even on purpose.
No, I think most of them were on purpose. Because Sam Raimi was a big fan of, like, the Three Stooges, which is why the one scene when Ash gets thrown in the bookcase, it happens twice and it falls on him.
Yeah, I find the whole thing comical.
I mean, I think the most prominent unintentional example is when he's struggling to get off the bookcase.
Yeah, a one-pound bookcase falls on him and he appears trapped under it forever.
Well, and there's a lot of scenes of people standing around while other people are getting attacked.
Well, yeah, there's that whole, like, 5-minute... And my complaint in this movie is that every scene is about 5 minutes too long. Because, really, there's not a huge plot to it. It's exactly as you said, you know, creepy spirits from beyond come back and wreak havoc, and that's about it. But there's that entire 5-minute sequence of Ash standing there with the axe while his friends are, you know, perishing, and he does nothing but stands there and watches it. And
I mean,
the whole film is like that.
I have to argue against that, though. I actually thought it's pretty fast-paced after they get possessed. I mean, it sort of just happens one after the other, just stuff happening.
But I feel like everything could have been cut by, you know, 5 to 2 minutes,
no.
You know, in there. Like the car ride at the beginning where they're going to this abandoned cabin in the middle of Tennessee.
It's a 2-minute scene.
And no, it's a lot longer than that.
Oh, it isn't.
And it doesn't really do anything to set up the whole movie.
Yes, it does. It establishes their isolation.
But it establishes how backward these people are. Like, they've never gone anywhere in their lives. You know, college kids in a beat-up Oldsmobile. You know, I don't know. It's a film about friendship.
I think it kind of sets the tone for the other movies in the series too. They get
campier and more intentionally comical.
The Evil Dead 2 is like a mix between horror and comedy, and Army of Darkness is pretty much just straight comedy.
It's quite interesting.
Well, I think the longer scenes is a product of being a lower budget movie to kind of pad running time.
Well,
also, this is from 1981.
I mean, I think the longer scenes work anyway.
What did you say?
I said I think the longer scenes work to the film's advantage anyway.
See, I thought it was just like, come on, do what you're going to do, say what you're going to say already. And, you know, and again, it's the low-quality acting as well. I mean, they don't have the skill to really fill the space, I don't think.
I think the acting was pretty high quality.
Okay, hang on here. Even from the very beginning in the car where the girlfriend is, like, making squealy, irritating, yeah, noises.
Yeah, you know? That was intentional.
Really?
Yeah, I'm certain that was intentional to make them kind of come off as dumb.
They did a good job with that.
Well, and she had the crazy laugh when she got possessed later on then, too.
That was also definitely supposed to be irritating.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it wasn't as amateurish on purpose as you would think it would be.
No, I think it is. I don't think you're giving it enough credit.
I am not. And don't get me wrong. It's great entertainment, you know.
No, it is not a dumb movie like you seem to be implying.
We digress.
So one of the hallmarks of Sam Raimi movies is the way that he can make the camera kind of look like it's on a roller coaster. You know, going through things. In this movie, he has the camera going supposedly point of view by the possessors.
Yeah, you never really see them. I mean, and the theory is like the woods themselves are possessed.
So this is something he did a lot in his movies after this, too.
Well, I mean, I think it works pretty strongly to the film's advantage, because Sam Raimi took a strong interest in cosmic horror and weird fiction, like from H.P. Lovecraft, which strongly influenced the film, notably with the Book of the Dead that's in the film, which was borrowed from H.P. Lovecraft's Necronomicon.
What's it called?
Necronomicon. It's not called that in the film, but
I thought they did say it.
Well, in the film, it has a different title. It's forgot what it's called.
It's a book made out of human flesh.
It's the Notorum Demento, which means the same thing, allegedly, but yeah.
So what other things did Sam Raimi direct, in case people don't know?
Didn't he do a Spider-Man?
He did Spider-Man trilogy in the 2000s. He did Darkman in the 90s. Trying to think what else. The other two Evil Dead movies, which are Evil Dead 2 and Army of Darkness.
He didn't do the remake?
No, he didn't do the remake. Someone else did that.
Didn't he do The Quick and the Dead?
Yes, he did The Quick and the Dead, For the Love of the Game.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's what it says. Like I said, the Spider-Man trilogy. And the most... The latest film is Oz the Great and Powerful.
Oh, right.
Oh.
No. Which is why Bruce Campbell is in it.
Yeah.
Ah, okay. Interesting.
Yeah, before he made the feature film of The Evil Dead, it started out as a short film, which was about half an hour, called Within the Woods, which was made to attract investors to this film. Because, like I said, this one was shot on extremely low budget and was pretty much totally independently financed.
So was that short movie the same story?
It's the same basic story, yeah. But it was... I mean, I think it's just Bruce Campbell and... I forgot who the female actress is in it. But, yeah, it's basically the same sort of tropes at play.
Do you know if that's on any of the home video releases?
Yeah, I believe so.
But you've not seen it?
No, I've not seen it. I don't really have much interest in seeing it either, considering it's somehow even lower budget than The Evil Dead.
But you liked that so much. They did so much with all the little money they had.
Yeah, they did it successfully in this. I don't know how they could go much lower budget, though. I mean, yeah.
Just the whole thing just makes me laugh.
Yeah, it was shot so on bad. Such a low budget that when they were shooting the film, which took over place over an entire year, they actually had to go live in the cabin, which had no heat at the time. So by the end of the film, they were burning furniture for heat.
Well, and they were squatters. It was an actual abandoned cabin. They were just squatting in it.
Well, it had electricity, apparently. But
I argue that, too. And I was very surprised that it had running water. Just saying. Well, if it's a cabin in the woods like that, you really think it's going to have a toilet?
Apparently it did.
I don't buy that. I think the toilet was shot off scene. Off.
I don't think they had a budget for that.
They had no toilet budget. Hate it when there's no toilet budget. Yeah. Go ahead.
So, Walter, you wouldn't say that you're a horror movie fan.
I don't know.
Necessarily.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say it's my favorite, but...
So what drew you to this particular movie?
That was just a good movie.
Well, how do you know that, though, before you saw it? There had to be a reason you watched it in the first place.
Oh, I had some friends who watched it. That was basically it.
So you'll watch anything?
Seek it out. I saw the remake before I saw the original, which I didn't think was bad. I mean, I don't think the remake is as good. The remake is surprisingly slower paced, which... kind of surprised me when I saw the original, because like I said, the original just sort of quickly kills characters off, and the remake doesn't really do that.
What do you think it is that makes it a classic, though? I mean, I just can't wrap my head around that.
It's just a well-done film, I think.
You don't think it's... people are mocking that ideal?
No.
You really think it's a good movie? Like, you would put it up there with any film?
Yeah, I'd say it's probably one of the best films I've seen. I think there are parts that don't work well, like with the bookcase, but I think overall it's a well-done film.
Even the ending? Where they turn into these crazy claymation-type zombie vomiting things?
Yeah. So, well, first of all, that's like a 2-minute sequence. So
claymation vomiting.
They did. They turned into these bizarro, and okay, why can? So I want to know what the budget was for like corn syrup, blood type products.
Well, like I said, the total budget was under $400,000.
So you think about 300 of that was fake blood?
I don't know.
I'm kidding. thing. But why do they, why can't they just spew what looks like blood? And if you're already dead, are you going to be spewing blood like by the bucket load?
Now, wait a second.
Like you some watch, of these are.
You watch The Walking Dead every week.
Yes.
There's been zombies walking around now on that show for years, and they get stabbed and spew blood somehow.
They don't spew blood like this. This is like someone turned on a faucet and it's just gushing. Like, no human had that much blood in the first place. And it's not
it's
just
not
blood.
It's supposed to be realistic.
There's this mysterious milky stuff all over the place that comes out their ears and their eyes and their... It's
I mean,
just
it's
weird.
Pretty clear that's a stylistic choice, though.
A stylistic choice to have someone spew, like, creamed corn? I don't know. I don't get that.
Well, and I think that's part
you
of...
You just have a problem with anything that's not total realism.
I suppose I do. I had a problem of suspending my disbelief in this
you
film.
You can't stand any movie with, like, talking animals, so don't get me started on this.
Well, they weren't talking animals in this one. Give it props for that.
Just living trees.
Just living trees that attack and rape people.
Well, I mean, trees are already living.
I mean, in
not
the...
in this way.
In the human sense. In the anthropomorphic sense.
In a Tolkien kind of way.
That's just bizarre and wrong.
So I think the overdone blood was kind of to make it so unreal.
Was it to cover up the sloppiness of everything else?
No, I think it's like in...
it's not sloppy.
In a similar way to something like Kill Bill, you know?
Yeah.
Not buying it.
To make it a little bit more
you
laughable.
You don't like Kill Bill either, so...
That's not true. I've sat through many a Quentin Tarantino film and
you'll sit
not question the blood,
and
you'll
complain
you know.
About it afterwards.
Not true. Not
yes,
true.
Yes.
I'm just trying to get your perspective and think this whole hot mess through.
It's a great movie.
Well, in all honesty, I hadn't watched it since probably I was 14 or 15 years old. Which was quite some time ago, and
last
it would have
year.
Been a cable TV classic at that point. And so having not watched it for nearly, you know, 30 years, and then sitting and watching it with you at 8 o'clock on a Saturday morning, it just feels just so campy.
Well, don't you think it was supposed to be?
Well, according to Walt, it was meant to be cinema classic straight off the bat. And I'm saying there's such a campiness about it that it was...
Yeah,
I don't know that it was mocking its own campiness at that point or not.
You're saying those things can't exist together.
No, I think they can exist together, but in the sequels, you could see the camp. They were playing off of the campiness. I'm wondering if this film just didn't suck so bad it became campy in the viewing of it. Like, it wasn't intentionally scripted to be that much camp.
As I said, it wasn't it's not really a comedy film. It has comedic elements, but I think those elements are clearly supposed to be comedic.
Well, there you go.
Okay.
I mean,
well, that,
and
clear
I
that up.
Think that comedy elements in the other films are generally more obnoxious, so.
Well, they were intentionally playing off of.
Well, yeah, the other two films, yeah, there
especially
was
Army of Darkness, more, I mean, come on.
Well, yeah, that was just a comedy, but, I mean, yeah, I don't know. The comedy elements in Evil Dead 2 are generally just obnoxious, considering it's a mix between horror and comedy.
So what fun facts, Kit, do you have for The Evil Dead, Karen?
Oh, this can go on for quite a while. There's many a
Boffo.
Thing here. I know, right? The blood was a combination, as I said, of Karo syrup, non-dairy creamer, and red food coloring. pretty repulsive. It was shot in an abandoned cabin, as I said before. This is Sam Raimi and Bruce Campbell's feature debut, and they had known each other from high school. A cameraman slipped during filming, smashing his camera into Bruce Campbell's face and knocking out several of his teeth, which is kind of funny because he has this pretty boy persona through 90% of the film before he becomes badass. He's just kind of this little shadow in the background. Other interesting things to know. Like I said, we could go on forever. Of course, you put me on the spot to read right now.
Go ahead, you can read.
I can read, and I will. The opening sequence of the evil moving over the pond is actually Bruce Campbell pushing Sam Raimi in a dinghy while he shot the film. Interesting. The white contact lenses worn by these. And are they zombies or what are they?
Deadites.
They're just possessed.
Deadites. Yeah. So are they dead or are they not dead?
They're not. They're possessed.
So if you kill it, then it becomes dead? See, these things mess with me.
Yes, you can kill it, but you have to completely dismember it in order to do so.
Oh. Well, the contacts that those deadites wore were so painful to wear they had to be taken out every 15 minutes to allow people's eyes to breathe.
Yeah, and they were so opaque that the actors couldn't see what they were doing when they wore them. So there's several sequences where they're trying to stab Bruce Campbell, and he was actually trying not to be stabbed by them because they couldn't see what they were doing.
Isn't that just disgusting?
Yeah, those become not contact lenses at some point, right? Mm-hmm. It's just stuff in your eyes.
I know. So, and here's the explanation of the bizarre white liquid that is emitted from the possessed. Is 2% milk. And they chose to use that to show that they aren't normal beings, but also to mix it up so the MPAA wouldn't give the film an X rating. Ultimately, it was released unrated. Although on IMDb, it claims it's an NC-17, which didn't exist in 1981.
X rating isn't a real rating. That just means it wasn't rated.
I don't know how that works. As I was originally looking at this, I noted that Joel Cohen was an assistant editor on the film, to which you, Tim, said, "Joel who?" And I said, "Of the Cohen brothers, of Joel and Ethan Cohen." They were friends of Campbell and Raimi and offered to help out.
I would love to see this. There's a video game adaptation for the Commodore 64.
Yeah, I saw that, and it looks awful.
That's awesome.
It looks like they just designed like a Pac-Man layout for the cabin.
Awesome. This was one of the highest rated video rentals of its year.
What year was that?
1981. So, assuming it came out in the same year. Creamed corn dyed green was used as the zombie guts. See, I wasn't too far off with that call.
Did they eat it afterwards?
That's disgusting. One of the sketches in the Book of the Dead comes from William Blake's painting, The Great Red Dragon and the Woman Clothed with the Sun.
Yeah, does it say who drew that stuff, by the way?
It does not. I'm just saying that one bit was...
I'm guessing that was where 90% of their budget went.
Oh, I was thinking it was probably one of those things where the director did it himself. That's why I wondered if it said who did it.
I have no idea.
I did not on that one. This was one of the first films in the UK to be labeled as, quote, video nasty, and was banned because of this.
Yeah, that's an entire genre of what they considered to be exploitation films, although The Evil Dead was not really an exploitation film. But I believe Sam Raimi was forced in court in the UK to go defend it.
And most of that refers back to the scene where the girl is, you know, kind of raped by the trees, which is weird. I think it was just an excuse to show side boob. But that's...
You get much better shots of that later in the movie. I don't think they need...
Really? I didn't see that.
Yeah, the one scene where the evil is circling the house and she takes off her shirt. You can see it through the window.
Oh, that I didn't remember seeing. I don't watch for side boob as closely as you do,
apparently.
I don't
even think the tree completely took off her shirt in that scene.
I thought it did. I mean, it ripped off a lot of her clothing. She wasn't naked, but it ripped off quite a bit. Themes of the movie have become an iconic favorite among tattoo clientele, which is a little weird.
Like they get tattoos of Bruce Campbell?
I really don't know. Production would be halted frequently when local hunters wandered onto the location. So, I mean, you can just kind of go on and on with the weirdness of this just because it is so, like you said, low budget and done on the cheap.
I read in here, too, that people in the cast and crew would get lost in the woods.
I could see that. And because of the location, sound effects and things weren't recorded very properly, so they did quite a bit of overdubbing with those effects. Because on set, they just weren't doing them very well.
Well, that happens all the time.
Yeah, but something tells me it's probably a lot different. And this was shot in Morristown, Tennessee. Tennessee was the only state that expressed enthusiasm for the project.
Where?
Tennessee. I know, right? They were looking at shooting it in Michigan, but had problems with getting a place there.
That hubbub of movie activity.
Tennessee. That's all right. That's right. Anything else you'd like to know?
What else
there's,
you got?
There's just lots of random crazy in here, you know? It's just... I'm still going back to the
Well, there's one scene where the evil breaks through a window, which, of course, is seen from the camera's perspective in the cabin. And they did this by just throwing the camera through the window. So when the actress is putting her hands over her face, that was really so she wouldn't get hit by the shards of glass.
That's awesome.
Most of the effects in the movie were done by them just trying to do it and generally by terrorizing the cast. So.
This is true. And it's, it does say in here that several cast members were inadvertently stabbed throughout the shooting of this film.
Nice.
So actors were harmed. Interesting to note, this cabin didn't have a cellar. So while watching this, you two mocked me pretty good for complaining that, wow, that cabin is really small.
I just said the cellar was plausible.
I said that cabin is way too small to have that many rooms and that big of a cellar. And
I was plausible.
Right. I know, I was right. The cabin didn't actually have a cellar. Most of the scenes were filmed in the stone cellar of a farmhouse in Michigan. So really, if you went downstairs, you went from Tennessee to Michigan. And the last room of the cellar was actually Sam Raimi's garage. yes. So the scene where the students descend into the cellar, a hole was cut into the floor, and they climbed into a shallow pit underneath. So
I'm going to go down into the pit.
Walking into the cellar.
I just said the cellar was plausible.
Oh, that's awesome. So yeah, there's just all kinds of crazy.
All kinds of crazy.
All kinds of crazy.
I read that...
Stephen King gives it a glowing endorsement.
Yeah, that's what I was
going to
say.
Yeah, that was one of the things that caused it to become really popular when it first came out was that Stephen King liked it so much. Which is interesting because Stephen King hates just about everything put on film, so...
Isn't that just his own films?
Yeah, but I mean, that still doesn't bode well for anything else.
It's awesome. That's awesome. So, yeah.
I still like this category, video nasty.
I know, right? So is that just deviant video?
I don't know.
It was what they classified basically exploitation films as, and they basically put restrictions on them.
The film was banned either theatrically or on video in some countries.
All because of that damn tree. Which is pretty twisted. I mean.
Yeah, overall, it's not... It's not that bloody. Just
because
well,
it's kidding?
Not, but I think it's because
it's not
that
real.
Bloody. Well, but I don't.
It's not
again,
real.
It's so campy. None of it is real. Okay, so the
it's
part
stylistic.
Where she takes her pencil and stabs the girl in the ankle with
you
it.
You were the one
and,
cringing at how horrible it was.
Only
don't,
because I can envision it.
Oh,
but you can
only
because
you could envision it.
Can I finish? You could see how fake, even, again, it's cringeworthy because you can imagine yourself feeling it. But when she's, like, digging that thing around in her ankle, and it's all rubbery looking, and, like, every piece of skin...
Bad to me.
Every piece of skin looked rubbery, and the consistency of the blood was so fake. You know, I mean,
no,
you couldn't sit there and say...
You're reading way too much into it.
Okay. Next.
That's it?
I'm reading too much into it, so...
So what else do you have to say, Walter?
About what?
This movie.
Well, I mean, what specifically?
Well, I don't know.
You picked it. You defend it.
I did defend it. I think it works very well. I think it's a lot more... I think it's a lot less explicit than a lot of horror films that come out nowadays, and I think that makes it a lot more effective. Because, I mean, for about the first half of the movie... There's no real physical presence to whatever is stalking them, which I think makes it a lot more effective.
Well, yeah, it builds suspense. I can see that.
There never is, really.
Well, I mean, it takes possession of them gradually and starts killing people, but I mean, that doesn't happen until at least 40 minutes into the movie.
So who do you think would like this film? Who's the audience for this? Because it's not me. It's not the worst thing, it's just not
watch it more.
I don't think that'll make it any less painful. No, who would you recommend this film to?
Everyone. It's a good movie.
So Grandma would like it?
I think if she watched it enough.
What about people who only want to watch it one time?
What about them?
Well, what do you think?
So if you were a person expecting or that liked scary movies, do you find this film to be scary?
Scary? No. I don't think that's really the point, though, of horror films. I mean, if you're just watching it for a cheap scare, then you can go on YouTube or something.
So if you were a serious, hardcore horror fan, like, you know, you live for those Saw movies and stuff like that.
I would not call that the audience of a hardcore horror fan.
Well.
Like I said, it's much more clearly influenced by, like, cosmic horror and weird fiction than like a jump scare slasher movie.
So more than like Halloween or Nightmare on Elm Street or Friday the 13th.
I mean, I'd say Nightmare on Elm Street is similar in some ways, but yeah.
See, I found Nightmare on Elm Street to be more serious. It didn't have a good sense of humor about itself.
Well, as it went on.
Well, as it went on, it got so ridiculous.
Yeah.
When you got down to Freddy versus Jason.
Wasn't the original the one where the bed eats the guy?
Yeah, of course.
So.
But they were very serious. Clearly in the realm of
plausibility.
They were very serious about it. And they set it up in a way that made it feel like, oh my gosh, I don't want to go to bed because I'm going to be eaten by this. My bed's going to eat me. Whereas if I watch this, I don't think I'm in any fear of my friends turning into zombies while we're in a cabin.
Well, that's not the specific sort of fear it's speaking to. It's just speaking to the fear of the unknown that's just deterministically pursuing you.
Why do you think it's got such a cult following after 35 years? I mean, this film is way older than you are. Why do you think people, especially in your generation, have latched onto that as something...
Like I said, it's a well-made film. I think making a good horror film is difficult because a lot of it is just relying on cheap scares. It's not relying on any building up of it at all. It's not... It crafts an intelligent story, which I think most horror films don't do.
Well, I think today, too, if you're dealing with a lot of DIY-type attitudes, and you can see something like this that was done so long ago when that was harder to do,
yeah,
it can give you a little inspiration as mm-hmm. well. No?
No. I still... Okay, so this movie went downhill for me about 10 minutes into it when they were riding in the car and they were going over the creaky bridge. And there's just some random dude standing on the side of the road that had nothing to do with the shooting. And I'm like, why couldn't
they
edit
that out? There's not random people in the woods? Come on.
I think that
was... No! There's not random people in the woods. Just standing by a bridge. I can see
random people outside right now.
Yeah, we live in a suburban area. I mean, of course you're going to see random people.
Yeah, that was the one person you saw, so it was proportional.
I think that was just a mistake.
Well, and again, why would you not edit that out? Why would you...
Well, if your budget is... X dollars. You don't have time to do a reshoot.
Well, in the back of my head, I kept thinking, maybe that dude plays a role in this somewhere. But no, it was just some dude in the woods in Tennessee.
You think too much.
Who cares?
Oh, wow. You guys,
so
yeah.
If you compared this to Night of the Living Dead.
Okay.
Okay.
Which I love Night of the Living Dead. You know that.
Well, and I think that there's a lot of things that are pretty similar, except Night of the Living Dead didn't have a self-awareness about it the way this movie does.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think Night of the Living Dead is good, but I mean...
I think Night of the Living Dead had a far different message to tell. And I think there was a subtext to what Night of the Living Dead was saying about how we live and race in America at that time. I don't get that whole underlying political vibe.
The director of Night of the Living Dead is... said that it wasn't about race, it was coincidental.
Well, he made a good coincidental movie. I felt like there wasn't an underlying consciousness about Evil Dead other than kids go to woods, things get campy and evil and die.
No, I totally... It's about the fear of the unknown, basically. Like I said, I mean, I don't think you've read very much of that sort of weird fiction tropes that Sam Raimi is relying on.
So. No, I haven't. I'll be honest, I have not.
My but as I was saying about Night of the Living Dead, I think it's a good movie, but I think it's a lot less, I don't know, frightening, because I mean, there's nothing that clearly can protect you in The Evil Dead as compared to Night of the Living Dead, where it seems like if they all just sat in the cabin, they would have been fine.
Well, and I guess there's... And I know you're telling me I need to suspend my disbelief in some pieces, but like when he's beating her with a block of wood 50 times, come on, can't we get that done in like 20 times? How long did he beat her with that block of wood?
It was less than a minute.
Should it have taken a minute? This is a grown man wielding a block of wood, which, by the way, I'm convinced it was styrofoam because it didn't do a damn thing to her.
Well, yeah, that was the point. She was possessed. It was to establish that.
She was possessed. The eyes rolling up in her head did that.
I think that goes along with the over-the-top blood, though.
Yes, parts of it were clearly stylistic choices.
If you hit someone in the head with a hammer one time, it's gruesome. If you do it 50 times, it becomes funny.
Well, and again, is that a byproduct of the cheap budget, or did it really know what it was? I mean, I guess we're holding it up as this thing that we feel like they intended on it being this cult campy classic.
I don't think they intended on everything. I don't think it's the campiness that makes it holds up. I think it's a good movie, unironically.
Wow. I want a refund on your college tuition. Clearly, they're not teaching you something about filmmaking.
So maybe the subtext is that these are college kids, and they're going to have a lifetime of debt.
No, this was in the 80s when you could actually go and work for a summer and pay for your college tuition.
That's bunk.
Come on.
And they're being pursued by their greatest fear.
Okay, Tim.
So the great fear on the outside is like, you know,
debt and commercialism.
Sally Mae coming
and
out.
And it's going to possess you. And turn you into something you don't want to be.
Yeah, in the 1980s, college was still, relatively speaking, more affordable than, say, today. What's your opinion about this, Tim? Because you've never... I mean, clearly Walt is on one side of the fence. I'm on the other. Where do you lie with
about this movie?
Sure.
I'm not a horror movie fan.
I wouldn't call this a horror movie.
It's a horror movie.
Okay, it's a horror movie.
Well, it is.
There are things about it that I appreciate. I mean, especially for a low-budget movie. Like I said, I like Sam Raimi's work and how you can kind of tell a lot of times when it's a movie that he's done just because of the way the camera moves and the weird angles and stuff like that. Obviously, being low-budget, they didn't have much of a script and they were inventing a lot of stuff on the fly. But a lot like Night of the Living Dead, there are things that go on a little longer than they should to pad out the running time and, you know, that's just how that type of movie is.
So you just really don't want to watch a horror movie with me. I read so much into it and I can't stop myself.
There are very few that I would see a trailer for and say, I got to see that. Because a lot of times they're without purpose, you know. Ultimately.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if that's just because of the horror genre or just the direction that's been taken, though.
Now, I would watch the newer...
The remake?
...versions of...
The remake or the sequels?
Yes. I mean, the newer stuff that's much campier, like we were, you know, watching the trailers to the TV show that had just recently come out. And, yeah, I would watch that because it's silly and campy. Because it's intending on being silly and campy.
Well, and I actually saw Army of Darkness first and probably like it best. But it's more of an out-and-out
comedy. It is an out-and-out comedy.
Well, I mean, and Bruce Campbell went that path.
Right.
He took that, the campiness from this, and just ran with that over the course of the last 30 years. You know, and he's still getting away with it. It's amazing to me. Because there's not a great depth of acting going on there. But what he does well. Kind of like in that Harrison Ford way of, I do one thing really well, but I'm not so good at playing like the president. You know, but I can be Han Solo and I can be Indiana Jones. Just don't ask me to go too far out of my wheelhouse.
Bruce Campbell's going to be Indiana Jones.
I would love to see Bruce Campbell's Indiana Jones. Like an evil twin.
Well, he did that Briscoe County TV show where he was kind of a cowboy version of that character.
He seems like someone who fell into acting and just never fell out of it. I mean, I don't know much about the guy and if that's what his intended path in life was.
Yeah, he was interested in acting before this film.
Okay.
That's like saying I was interested in acting before Star Wars.
Well, I mean, I don't know how much he did before this, but
I mean, and he's been around since, like, the beginning of time here, well, being the late 1970s. Yeah. I don't know. Everything he's done has been in that same vein, which, hey, you know what? I guess if you're good at it, roll with it.
Yeah, in the original movie, the twist was supposed to be that Ash was the survivor, but now, unfortunately, Bruce Campbell is so well known that it becomes obvious retroactively.
Yeah,
because originally the movie is supposed to be setting up Scott as the heroic one, which is why Bruce Campbell's character is off to the side like an idiot with the axe, not doing anything.
Yeah, I mean, and
but then he became so well known that now it's impossible to watch that without keeping that in mind.
Like I said, he seemed like a guy who just kind of fell into this, and that's what he does, you know. And yeah, so everybody needs a job, right?
So, any final thoughts on The Evil Dead?
Yeah. It's campy, and it's funny, and it's, you know, I think for older teenagers, even though I was probably a young teen when I saw it, I was probably way too young to have seen that the first time. Now, looking back at it as an adult, I'm frightened by what I could watch on TV, but, I mean, it's funny, it's... I think you go into it with a sense of humor, it's fine.
I don't think you need to make excuses for it. I think it's a good movie, unironically.
It would be interesting to watch it on a night with, like, you know, two other horror movies of that time period and see which ones hold up best.
I think some went for that shock and horror, and some went the other route with claymation.
Because I think if you watched a movie like Halloween, it wouldn't hold up at all.
And see, I love Halloween. The original Halloween with Jamie Lee Curtis was creepy because it had the music. And maybe that's another thing. The music doesn't quite... There's some hilarious 80s sounding tracks going on in here.
Again, no budget. I think the music in this is very effective and minimalist.
But when you... Minimalist. Because they had to be.
But
when you look at something...
Yeah, but it works. Just because they had to be does not mean it doesn't work. Which is why this has held up so well.
I think Halloween would hold up because of the creepy factor.
Well,
if you saw William Shatner standing outside your window, you'd probably pee your pants too.
I think if you saw it now, you would see the same kind of thing where you thought that scenes went on too long and slow spots and things like that.
Meh.
I think you just don't like anything that starts to deviate from realism very much.
That's not true.
Mm-hmm. Come on. Don't lie to me.
I'll try not to. Oh,
that's not true.
It's not true. Not at all.
So any final thoughts, Walter?
Like I said, it's a good movie, unironically. It deserves the 95% it has on Round 2.
Would you nominate it for an Academy Award? If so, what category?
Academy Award? Sure, Best Picture.
Oh, no.
Original screenplay, too.
Oh, stop yourselves.
I'm Best Director, too.
Stop it.
I'm not joking. It's a good movie.
Well, you could say cinematography.
I would not.
You have to remember that the way the camera moves throughout this movie was not done at that time.
Parts of it felt like Blair Witch, okay?
Blair Witch got pretty strong praise.
Yeah, but I'm saying no. In that vomit-inducing way.
I think it works. I wouldn't call it great cinematography, but I think it's done well, generally.
So that's The Evil Dead.
I just want to go to one thing. He said it would hold up against any Academy Awards here.
No, I didn't. I said it deserved one.
Deserved one. So you're telling me you would rather see Bruce Campbell win than Robert De Niro for Raging Bull?
Yes. I didn't like Raging Bull that much. He picked a poor example.
Robert Redford with Ordinary People about
Never
a child's
that.
Suicide.
Don't care.
See, you don't even know.
I prefer good movies rather than just Oscar bait.
You're killing me. You're killing me.
You should just watch it more. You'll appreciate it.
Yeah, go watch it again.
More or less. Okay.
Watch the second one. You haven't watched the second one.
Okay.
So that's Sam Raimi's The Evil Dead from 1981. Although, how come it took so long to come out in the UK? It was like 2 years later.
Well, because it was video nasty.
It's a low-budget film. It probably wasn't theatrically released, was it?
I know it was released on VHS at one point. relatively soon after.
So wait, let me see the box office. $2.6 million.
Yeah, it made more than 5 times its budget, so.
There you go.
Oh, okay.
So if you have any questions or comments for us, feel free to write to us at film.scene@yahoo.com. And don't forget to check us out on Facebook. We're at facebook.com/filmscenepodcast. And we're also on Twitter at filmscene1. Don't forget about our half.com store, too, for great deals on books, movies, music, and games. Click on shops in the bottom left corner and type in TGOR1. And also take a couple minutes to rate and review us on iTunes. Until next time, I'm Tim.
I'm Karen.
Walter.
And we'll see you next time.